The Dave Glover Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloored.com.
KMOX. Happy friggin' Friday to everybody. Got a little rain downtown.
A little bit.
It's kind of nice.
It's very nice.
Cool things off. Pump that humidity up. How bad is it on a day like this when it rains and your skin gets a little bit chilly? Like, it's Pride Fest down here this weekend. We're watching everyone scurry around and you're just getting soaked. And then 5 minutes later, the sun's back out and you're just miserable.
You're boiling.
You're just boiling. Good to be back. I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Dave Glover Show. This is Rage. This Hello. Is Wheels. Andrew is our fourth, and he is in Chicago seeing a K-pop concert. So that's all you need to know about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still, our boss, he was asking where he was. He knew he was out, but where is he? I'm like, well, he's in Chicago at a K-pop concert. And Steve goes, what's K-pop? And I'm like, well, it's just pop music, but it's all Korean act. He's like, huh. I said, you should go look it up. He's like, it's a big deal. I'm like, well, they sell out stadiums. I mean, it's Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're playing a big stadium, you're probably doing all right.
That's funny. Yeah. You didn't know what K-pop was.
I wouldn't have other than Andrew explaining it. Mm. Like, you know, when I first got on the show, I would never have known it existed.
Wheels just came up with a brilliant idea without even knowing it.
Yeah.
He was complaining, looking at the stream, how giant his forehead is.
I mean, it's
and
it's
I told
a five
him,
head.
Look at your neighbor to your left, and you're gonna see a forehead, brother. And then he said, I'm going to sell it out for advertising. And I'm like, that's brilliant.
Just a sticker?
Yes, we can do that for the stream. Hell, I could have more than one client at a time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, can I get in on this? I don't exactly have a small forehead myself.
None of us are going to say a word.
No, you could have a, yeah, you probably need just slightly smaller sign than me, but yeah, you could fit one there.
I would buy that.
Oh,
I would. If I were an advertiser and I could buy one of our heads,
just
I would do it.
The novelty.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going around bragging? Yeah, I got Glover's forehead.
Brought to you by the Gelman team.
When you're doing the live,
yeah
you just
lean into the camera,
you just change it, just get a little sticky thing at thegelmanteam.com.
Certain restrictions apply.
Man,
yeah, I could put everything on my head.
I mean, you know, in that way, I'm probably a lot like a NASCAR driver.
Yeah,
you know, if somebody's gonna sponsor it, I'm gonna wear it. I'll do it. Not get a tattoo a sponsor, though.
You have plenty of room.
I know.
Not on your forehead, just on your body.
Well, I mean, there's a lot on the forehead, too, but yeah. I mean, right now, I'm like taking up the whole damn screen.
Do you know what size hat you wear?
Yeah, 7 3/8.
That sounds big.
No, it's normal, average-ish.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, 7 1/4, maybe. It's somewhere in there. It's around that, 7 1/4, 7 3/8.
Mike, from the Bud Light team, pardon me, was asking me what size hat I wore, and I'm like, and I immediately felt sheepish because that's what I do.
Yeah,
and I was like, is that something most men know?
I don't think most.
I mean,
men
most
do.
Men in the 40s did because everyone was wearing like a fedora or something.
I mean, ball players know because when you're playing college ball or high school ball, whatever, you wear the one that fits. You pick one out that fits. And if you're into fitted hats, like I bet Ranji knows. You know, Ranji's into hats, and he's got a lot of fitted hats. Yeah, yeah. So if you're into fitted hats, like ball caps, you'll know what size it is.
We have Kyle filling in for Andrew here. Kyle, did you hear that I'm playing old man baseball again?
I did hear that.
Yeah. Joining the Bud Light team, going straight to the top.
Nice. When does it start?
A week from Tuesday.
Sweet.
So they're about halfway through their season. And they needed someone to pick them up, and they went recruit. No, actually, they saw my name and knew it from the radio, and they picked me up.
They need a big hitter.
They need a big bat.
Yeah.
They need a big forehead.
Yep. They got some logos they need to get out there.
They'll write how many outs there are.
You'll have
my
like
head.
A Bud Light sticker.
Okay, now it's not funny.
Took it too far, Wheels. You know who's the king of doing that is like when you're riffing and then Andrew will be like, and slam dunk. And it's always like, oh, ouch. Like, that one hurt.
Is it? Maybe it's just a guy thing, but it's definitely a team sports thing where you always just go to the point where everybody goes, all right, that's too far. Like it just keeps escalating until somebody goes too far.
But it needs one of two things. It needs someone to go too far or someone to not go far enough.
Yeah.
Because it kind of peters out. Riff, yeah. good line, funny thing. And then someone's like, pasta.
Yeah.
And
you're like, like, okay, it's over.
Had a girlfriend like that.
Just ruined it.
Not going to say who it was. Now, they're all going to think it was them, but she was so beautiful, but she was terrible at a happy hour. This is like a Seinfeld thing.
Gotcha.
But like, you know, I run in a pretty fast group when it comes to humor, and she would always be the cymbal at the end of the drum roll, and it was always very clanky. It all just like wince a little bit, like, oh, yeah.
It's always at the end like, zibbity doo.
Yeah, exactly. And flippity doo, flip that hooker, bloody day. You're just like, oh, okay.
I guess.
Yeah, we've all been the clank every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's a few things worse.
You're not playing the game right if you're never the clank.
The best is when you're the clank on a radio show with thousands of people listening.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're just having one of those clank days. It's like, dude, I cannot pull myself out of this one.
I had the clankiest day ever on Wednesday. I talked about it Wednesday.
Yeah,
I talked about it a little bit, but I didn't sleep well. I didn't eat anything all day. And my show prep was for crap. And then everyone was a little bit off, and you were gone.
I was late.
Oh,
and so
late.
It was just
car
like,
repair.
Yeah, someone said on the stream, which hurt my feelings. Like, I didn't realize how quiet it is without a Wheeler.
Well, I don't know if that's more of a shot at me, but it's also true. So I accept that. Everything's quieter without me. Rock concerts are quieter without me.
Yeah, I put up a bunch of bricks on Wednesday. Then you're just like, I can either not shoot or I can just keep shooting bricks.
It's never going to go in if you don't shoot it.
Yeah, you don't have the option to not shoot.
No, that's the that's worst part.
Dave, you're our Allen Iverson,
the
man.
The worst part.
Your job is to shoot.
I am.
I'm the Dennis Rodman.
After 25 years, I'm pretty comfortable with silence on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn. I'm not. I'm just tooting the horn of OGs, like actors. I think what separates a great actor and an okay actor is their comfort with silence. You think of like an Anthony Hopkins or, you know, Morgan Freeman or one of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
They will use silence to their advantage as opposed to just filling all the space up.
Yeah. Same for the great play-by-play people.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Let the moment
perfect
breathe
analogy.
A little bit. Yeah. It's harder on radio, though. See, like on a movie, like you're still looking at it. And you can see what's happening there. And on a play-by-play, you can hear the crowd. And you can, if you're, you know, it depends on TV or radio. But even on radio, sometimes that pause is really effective when you're just hearing the crowd and the fireworks or whatever. On the radio, it's just nothing.
Yeah, and there's like
I hate that nothing.
There's an alarm that goes off if you're quiet for too long. Like, you're pretty heavily encouraged to not let the silence linger too long.
Jamie, no worries at all. When you said that it's quieter without Wheeler, I just took that. I didn't take it the wrong way. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
I just internalized it because I knew how bad I was sucking. I'm like, you're right.
I mean, it's accurate. It's just part of the ripping we were just talking about.
Matthew asking when my first Bud Light game is. It's a week from Tuesday, July 8th.
All right. You got time to work.
That's right, Coach.
Get some work in.
Yes, we do.
You ready?
You're like Mickey.
So Monday, we're going to run stairs.
Great.
Then you're going to chase the chicken.
Okay, perfect.
And then if you catch it, we'll
you
go to batting
chase,
practice.
Not choke, so.
Chase, yeah.
Okay,
no,
good.
Chase.
All right.
And no animal cruelty here.
It is cruel, too.
You catch it, you get to take batting practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. With other chickens. Here comes the chicken. What do you think of this? So Tower T is the closest batting cage to me. And they have a deal. And you know how I don't like doing things? I don't know how they work.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
self-checkout.
Yes. I don't know how to get my tokens. I don't know how you say next game is mine. I've done it, but not for 25, 30 years. And you can also rent a lane out for an hour for $40. That's not bad. But I don't want to be the goober that, like, they're expecting a whole team and I show up with my bat and my batting gloves.
Won't happen if you go during the day.
Okay.
Nobody's going to, I mean, there's nobody's got parents to drive them or, you know, like, whatever. That okay. People are at work. If it's grown men, like, you know, adult, most people are at work. You're not, I don't think you have to worry. But I would also, just forgetting the occupancy thing, I would see if there's a half hour.
There's not.
An hour's a lot.
No, I definitely wouldn't fill an hour.
That's a lot of swings.
But if I could just go in there and be by myself and not have someone pressuring me from behind,
that's true.
Okay with me.
No, that's true.
That's cool.
And you can just wrap up if you want.
I've got a half hour of bunting to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably a good way to not wear yourself out because you'll be tired at
the end
of that.
That's going to be my thing.
That's a good workout right there.
Bunting.
Nice. You'd be like, we're so glad we got this guy on the team. He bunts so much.
He's bunting again. Tommy, Milky sky out there downtown. At least there's a little bit of a breeze. That's good. I think the weekend is going to be more like upper 80s, low 90s, than upper 80s next week. Dave Murray will be here in a couple of hours to let us know for sure. But a little bit of relief coming, which I'll take it. I know the thing is like, well, it's still 90 degrees. But to me, the difference between 90 that feels like 95 and 95 that feels like 103, like very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I got bunting work. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I mean, it takes some work.
Bunting doesn't just happen.
No, you got to practice that.
Got to bunt.
Bunting ain't easy.
Speaking of baseball, hello to everyone who I met at the game on Wednesday. They put Phoebe and I up on the Jumbotron, and it was really cool, and met a lot of people on my way out. So, very nice.
That's cool.
It was a good picture of you guys.
It was great,
really,
wasn't it?
Really good picture.
Yeah. It was great. Phoebe looks so cute.
Does she like being like a center of attention thing, or does that bother her, like the, you know, picture on the scoreboard or whatever?
No, she loves that.
Okay.
Like, this is the second time this year we've been on a Jumbotron, which is, again, making me believe I'm in a simulation, because who makes a Jumbotron twice? But when we're on the Jumbotron at KC at Arrowhead Stadium for the KU game, that was just out of nowhere as far as we know. And then this one, the Cardinals had told me, like, hey, we're going to do a little thing with you between, you know, the first and second inning. So it was cool. It was fun. But I was a little salty because I was in Big Mac land. And the way it came about is I was saying I was going to be in Big Mac land. Cardinals listened to the show. They heard it. They said, hey, we want to do a thing with you with the Big Macs. I'm like, right on. And so in right when they said it was going to happen, there's all these cheers going on. And I look to my right and there are people holding up giant Big Macs. And I'm like, these effers. And I brought my daughter and I promised her all this glory. And suddenly someone else's Big Macs are up there. And I'm like, oh, rubble. And I even texted Steve, my boss. I'm like, I don't know. Someone else did the Big Mac thing. Yeah, it took me. I went from zero to SE in like.
I'm going to tell Steve.
2 seconds.
I'm calling the boss.
Do you have Mr. DeWitt's number? And then I hear like, oh, in the stands, Dave Glover from the Dave Glover Show and his daughter Phoebe. And I'm like,
oh, so you got the full shout out.
Hi, everyone. Happy
you just
to
weren't
be
a
here.
Ceremonial burger. You were the show.
Right. Yeah. Right. I wasn't just a ceremonial button burger. I got no time for holding up a paper burger. No, I was all sullen.
They should have put the big M.
No kidding.
It would be so great. I'd do it.
Well, they're probably listening now, so yeah. I would do it.
Yeah, me too.
We should both do it.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun.
selling out our foreheads for money.
They could just tape those big burgers right to our heads.
Oh, yeah. You could do that.
I have the dry erase marker here. I mean, we could do the billboard thing like your ad here to maybe inspire some folks.
For rent?
Yeah.
Just use the large font so it makes sure they can read it on my forehead.
Rent me?
for lease.
Now, this will happen. Oh, you know who else I saw is my good friend Lern from KC and the Riz Show.
Cool.
And her beautiful husband, Tim.
Awesome. Man, Lern used to come on the show all the time when I first started, and she was always one of my favorite guests to
have
on.
I love those guys.
She just has a really great energy.
You know how I'm always saying, if I didn't do this for a living, I would want to do this. I found my perfect job, and right now, a five-year-old holds it. So there's this TikTok of this five-year-old who lives on a farm, and he has a train that he pulls with a little ATV.
Okay.
And right behind him is a fake ATV that his three-year-old sister rides on. Then you have like six or seven cars behind it, train cars, that are like wagons. And he hauls bunnies and chickens around, and they just sit there. He'll pick them up. And then before he drives, I feel insane right now. Before he drives, he kisses everyone.
Aww.
And then kisses his sister.
Aww.
And he's got a little pocket knife on a belt. He's five. And he gets in it and he just drives him around. And
he's a little man.
He's a little man. He's more of a man than I am.
He's taking care of the whole farm.
And those rabbits and chickens don't jump out?
He's not button. No. No, they're having the time of their lives.
So they like it. They're like, woo!
They're getting kisses and rides. On Camo Wax, hearing from some friends that it's pouring around St. Louis. It's a little dark outside the Camo Wax studios, but we had some rain about an hour ago. It's nice. It's nice. We'll take it.
It is nice.
Brad Young, attorney at law, joins us now. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave. I thought you were going to introduce me as speaking of people with big foreheads for billboards.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brad Young.
Join the club, Brad.
You and I can corner this market.
Oh, available for rent. Absolutely.
The two of us together for like a law firm with two names.
A law firm with six names. You know.
Oh, man. Okay. So as I understand it, it's the last day of the Supreme Court session. And so they're putting opinions out. And there's one I'm really interested in, which was the president's challenge to birthright citizenship. And as often, it seems that they took a procedural way out.
Yeah, they did. And we have to set the table because this could be complex. The issue with birthright citizenship is this. President Trump took the position that the 14th Amendment does not grant children of illegal immigrants the right to be U.S. citizens, even though the 14th Amendment clearly says that they are. And so one judge issued an injunction that affected the whole country. So the issue at the Supreme Court really wasn't about birthright citizenship. And as we saw today, they didn't even decide that issue. The issue was, can a single federal court judge issue an injunction that impacts the entire United States? And the court held 6-3 today that judges do not have that power.
Is that a surprise to you, or is that line up pretty well with law school?
No, that doesn't surprise me. And it's interesting. Amy Coney Barrett wrote the opinion, and she was she taught, I believe, at Harvard, teaching about civil procedure. So, you know, she knows. But she really goes back, and this is a fundamental question here. And that is, the courts, other than the Supreme Court, they're governed by Congress. And if you look at the Judiciary Act of 1789, it gives the equity power to the district courts, but doesn't give them equity power over the entire United States. Only the Supreme Court has that. So this decision wasn't all that surprising. I know people were wanting an opinion on the birthright issue itself, which I think is really an easy issue to resolve. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Supreme Court already dealt with this right after the Civil War. regarding the children of Chinese immigrants who were born in this country. So to me, that's an easy issue. But this is a procedural resolution to a big question.
And Brad, if you know, is the president just wanting to stop it in its tracks, or is it a little more nuanced than that? And is it just the children of illegal immigrants? Like, how, what is it that he actually wants to see happen?
Well, it's a bigger issue. It's really a, if I could summarize it into a twofold issue. Number one, people who are children of immigrants don't have legal status as citizens. And number two, if you are here in this country illegally, then you somehow don't have due process rights and you can be deported without having any sort of a hearing. And those two issues, when you put those two issues together, I think the Trump administration's wrong on both of those issues. Because 14th Amendment, as we've already talked about, makes people here, they're here, our citizens, and everyone's entitled to due process. No matter why you're here or how long you're here, you're entitled to due process before you're stuck on a plane and flown to El Salvador.
Can you imagine, though, Brad, if Trump caught a flyer at the Supreme Court and won on both of those things, the immediate change it would have to immigration?
Well, it would be a bigger, the impacts would really go beyond immigration. I mean, the impacts would go to even the whole nature of our justice system, which is everyone gets a right to a hearing. I mean, that's what separates a democracy from a dictatorship. You know, if you're in Russia and you make Putin mad, as we saw with Navalny, either you're thrown in prison or you have to eat uranium. And so this really separates us from dictatorships, and it's a bedrock of our democracy.
And I see that Gavin Newsom has filed a lawsuit against Fox News for $787 million, which is a shout out to the Dominion case, because that's what the Dominion case was. And really is. He is alleging, and let me set this one up and you see if I'm correct, because it seemed pretty like eye-rolly, that he said that he had a call with the president. The president said it was on this day. He said, no, it wasn't. It was on another day. And Jesse Waters was accusing him of lying about it. And then it turns out that it has a lot to do with time zones. And it was in the middle of the night. And in his time zone, it was one day. In the president's time zone, it was another day. I mean, it just seems right. Like, my Lord.
It's ridiculous. And the legal basis for this lawsuit is flimsy at best. And there's really no justification. But this is how politicians, right and left, this is not a partisan position, but they try to use litigation for political purposes. And that's what this is. This is allowing Gavin Newsom to say, I'm taking it to Trump. I'm sticking it to Trump. Legally, this lawsuit has no merit. Everybody here is a public figure. Newsom, Trump, Waters, they're all public figures. The legal standard under New York Times versus Sullivan is not going to allow this lawsuit to go forward. And really, if you look at these companion cases where Trump is getting money from these networks, it's really only because, not that he's legally entitled to it, it's only because that he's the president and they're trying not to run afoul of the president. Yeah. So the only way this lawsuit by Gavin Newsom has any water is if it, sorry, pun intended, with Jesse Waters. But the only reason this has any water at all to it is if Gavin Newsom becomes the next president of the United States, this lawsuit's still ongoing. Maybe Fox wants to settle in order to not tick off the next president.
Didn't even think about that. Talking to attorney Brad Young, who is a consistent contributor to KMOX and does the shows here every now and then. Brad, let me spring one on you that I didn't prep you for, but Andrew Bailey versus Sheriff Montgomery. What do you make of this whole kerfuffle?
Well, you know, this one's actually, some of this is pretty easy. And I'll tell you why. Missouri has an anti-nepotism provision in the Missouri Constitution. It's very simple. You cannot hire anybody that is within, I think it's the five lines of congenuity or something like, I forgot the exact word. But in this instance, though, he hired his brother-in-law. So even if you look at all these other issues about him buying himself a brand new car and buying gold-plated badges and refusing to haul people around as he's required to do about inmates, even if you cut all that out, the fact that he violated the Missouri Constitution, which requires them to immediately forfeit their office, I think legally that's a pretty easy issue for A.G. Bailey.
Okay, very good. That's Brad Young. We appreciate it, pal. Thanks.
My pleasure.
I wish I were as smart as him. And I do covet his forehead, too.
Yeah.
It's a dome.
Yeah.
It's a good
one. It's a good one. We got a lot of domes around here.
Do we? Who else got a dome?
No, I just mean like a lot of poster space on the foreheads.
Mm.
You know, it's so funny that we're talking about this because I just saw a video, I think this morning or last night, and it was about accentuating your big forehead as a lady.
Really?
Yeah, and it talked about how you can break it down if your face is, if your forehead is like a third of your face, that's a good thing. And then you have like the middle third and then your chin. And It was just interesting. And I'm watching it like, all right, I'm going to take notes.
Yeah, that's pretty
like
close.
I said, I don't have a small forehead.
And then that.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
When I go in for chemical peels, right? So they have to use two kits because I have two faces. So I have my face, then I have my forehead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's always... that's always delightful for me.
It's like, oh.
Grab the second bucket. They're using a paint roller.
My arm's getting tired. Sorry.
I don't know how the... It's funny when I say it, Kyle.
That was really funny.
It's just hurtful when others say it.
I'm sorry.
It's funny when Rachel sometimes pulls out the dagger.
Yeah. It's always good when she spikes that ball.
And earlier, I'm like, you know who always does that?
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Amy minus Chris had a topic on today with Hancock and Kelly about whether men should be allowed to wear shorts. Now, I will say I don't know whether the question was at work or in general. In general, I think that's clearly yes. Men should be allowed to wear shorts. So let's just take the at work part. But I found it to be an interesting conversation. Should it, even on a casual day, should men be allowed to wear shorts?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, especially here.
It does depend on the place. I'd say if you're having a day in court, probably not a great idea. If you're a lawyer. You know, I mean, there are places where you're like, maybe not the greatest idea, but like just your average general workplace, why not? Why not? What's so offensive about knees and calves?
Show a little leg. You know, the girls get to do it. We can wear dresses or... when we first moved into this building and they told us to stop wearing shorts to work, do you remember that?
Yeah.
I thought that was weird because it's like, you're not banning skirts, just shorts. So like... But it's like, even for a lady, it's like, why is it okay for me to show my bare legs in a skirt?
Yeah.
The shorts are actually more modest.
Yes.
I don't know.
Just interesting.
I've always found that, like, again, it really does depend on the place that we're talking about. But I think dress codes are old-timey and not really necessary. I don't think they accomplish what you think they do. You're not going to be a better worker because the bottom third of your legs are covered.
I will say the big exception for me is I do want my Congress people to be dressed.
Fair, yeah.
Nicely. Like the Fetterman thing actually drives me insane.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like you're in this prestigious position and you look like you're going down to the bodega to get a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what about a boss at a company? Should they be on a different standard?
No.
I think it depends on the job, but yeah, I mean, if you're working at like Home Depot or something, like I don't see why you wouldn't be able to wear shorts.
What about here? I know you've said it disappoints you when Steve Moore wears them.
When he wears shorts, yeah. I do complain to HR every time that happens.
Well, he's
which
HR.
Is, which is weird because he is the HR
guy. It's him and then it's really awkward.
I'm here to file a complaint against Stephen Moore. on KMOX coming up at the top of the hour. Sue Thomas, Sue at 2 is going to join us. Going to do some Throwback Thursday. Going to do some Battle of the Halfwits. Should be fun. Should be a fun hour. Make sure you're with us for that. Alvin Reed's in studio at 3. Ricky Horton at 4. So pretty busy show. You guys ever seen the nervous system?
Like
outside of the human body.
There's a science center where they have it just kind of in a glass.
Yes.
That's how I feel all the time when I look at that thing. I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Just a bundle of nerves.
It's your fault. Yeah, if you've never seen it, Google it, because it is something crazy. And it is undeniable. Now, I'm not going to argue with you about whether we have a soul, but I will say that if you think your soul is in your pinky finger, you're wrong, because you can lose a pinky finger and you're still you. But basically, you are the nervous system. Everything else is structural, which is freaky. It just houses it. Everything that we experience comes through those little wires.
Yeah.
Just weird. I was also thinking, this is very existential in the zony, but, you know, Wheels, you and I are both into space and cosmology, and they found this, and what about that? Simulation theory and all that kind of thing. And I believe this is true, that the reason we have anything is that at the Big Bang, there were tiny, tiny fluctuations in energy, and those coalesced into planets, galaxies, stars, us, tiny fluctuations. So if you think about it, we are all just distinct fluctuations in energy being hosted by matter. Kyle, that just blow you away?
Blown away in
here. You gonna be okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be all right.
Feel free to use that tonight in the booth. Pass it off as your own. Just be like, Klaibs, let me run something by you.
Let me drop some knowledge real quick.
Let me just drop something on you. I'm going to drop it like it's hot. Right? I'm just a distinct fluctuation of energy. That's what I am.
Sure.
Hosted by matter.
Mm-hmm. It's got to fit somewhere.
This doesn't seem to impress anyone.
Well, no, I think saying it out loud.
Kyle rolled his eyes.
Yes, saying it out loud.
Kyle, don't flip him off.
Makes it seem weirder than it is.
Say that again?
I said, I think saying it out loud makes it seem weirder than it is.
Yes. Like seeing that nervous system.
Like, that's exactly what a computer is, right? Like, there's energy, there's electricity, there's information being stored digitally, but it's just being housed by computer chips and plastic and a TV screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Rach, what's your analogy?
It's like...
It's like,
going back
it's like
to the
crazy,
thing.
Man. It's like, dude.
It's like, whoa.
I really am like hanging out with your stone friend.
It's like, if you're here and I'm here, doesn't it make it our time?
Dude, have you ever seen your nervous system? Looks like an alien.
Kyle's over like, yeah, all right, yeah, saw that.
Alien, yeah. Okay, I thought that'd go better than
that. No,
it's I have a lot of things going through my mind. Are any of them worth saying? I'm not sure.
Well, it didn't stop me.
Did you see on that on the similar note of figuring things out and spacey stuff? Did you see we have actually photographed an exoplanet?
I saw your story about it. I've not seen the actual
first
story.
Time in human history we have an actual photograph of an actual exoplanet, because everything before is just reading the light waves that come off of it and being able to identify what that matter is based on the way the light is.
Yeah.
So the Webb telescope. Mm-hmm. Has taken a photograph where you can see the exoplanet in the ring around a sun.
Wow.
And it's not great. I mean, it's, you know, you don't see a whole lot, but it's still.
You see a blob.
The first time human beings have ever photographed an exoplanet. And they think it's about the size of Saturn. But that's just, come on. How far away is that? How do we get photos from that far away?
If we've been around for 200,000 or 300,000 years. And 300 years ago, we were still putting people in jail who said that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. And here we are photographing exoplanets.
I mean, the photo itself doesn't blow you away. If you Google it and look at it, you're going to be like, it's a dot. It doesn't look like much of anything. But the fact that from that, from the distance that this is, I mean, we're talking thousands of light years away, that you can take a photograph is and just nuts.
It blows me away that the whole reason we have made this quantum leap in knowledge is just super smart people with original thoughts like this. You ever thought that we're just quantum fluctuations being...
I mean, I think you maybe nailed it.
Thanks.
There is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. You said only.